Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
So last week we started in 2 Peter, and we're going to continue in 2 Peter chapter 1. The series is entitled Momentum, because God's grace gives us the momentum to keep on pressing on. There are times we may want to quit and throw in the towel and say enough is enough. This is too much. The burden is too heavy. I can't do this. And Peter says, no, God's grace is sufficient to propel you to keep on going, to stay true to Christ, keep your eyes on Him, keep living by faith, keep walking with Him. And so Peter has some great, great words of instruction for us. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Now in verse 4, he had just talked about how we can escape the corruption of this world that are caused by evil desires. And the promise of Scripture is that we can escape the corruption of this world that is fueled by evil. And so he begins in verse 5 by saying this, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith," that's the title of the message this morning, "add to your faith," and then he gives us a list. And this is an important list. Goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness or mutual affection, and to brotherly kindness or mutual affection, love. Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute, because this list is reminiscent to what other list that you can think of? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. I think this list here is Peter's equivalent of Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So turn briefly to Galatians chapter 5, and I want to look at Paul's list. These are qualities of those who are filled with the Spirit, walking with God. And notice the overlay between the two lists. So Galatians 5:22, the Apostle Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." So Paul begins with love, whereas Peter ends with love. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These two lists, to me, are fascinating. And when you compare them side by side, there is so much in common. But the theme that both Paul and Peter are trying to get across is that if we are filled with the Spirit of God, God's people are to live a certain way. Because we've escaped the corruption of this world caused by evil desires, and now we live in a whole new way, a whole new reality. And for Paul, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For Peter, it's faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. So let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," in other words, we just keep building on them, "they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, they are nearsighted and blind." Ouch. and has forgotten that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make sure your calling and election is sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give you just a brief summary of what we believe are the two incredible works of grace that God desires to do in and through us. And they are two very distinct works of grace that God desires to do in every single person, every man, woman, boy, and girl. The first is that God wants everyone to be saved. It is God's will that every person be saved. Saved from sin, saved from, as Peter says here, the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, in need of a shepherd. On Wednesday nights, we're going through Psalm 23, line by line. We had an amazing time this last Wednesday night. But as you know, Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Why do we need a shepherd? Because we are stubborn, sinful sheep. And left to our own devices, we are no good to ourselves and we are no good to anyone else. And so it is God's desire, by His grace, that He offers salvation to us. Salvation means we come to that point in our life when we realize that God has done everything He has in Christ Jesus. He has given Himself fully to us to redeem us, to save us, to reconcile us, to bring us back to Himself. And so when we see Jesus hanging on the cross, He gave His all to save us because we need salvation. He gave His all. There was nothing more that Christ could give. He hung on the cross for the salvation of the world. He gave His all so that we might be saved. And so that's the first work of grace that God wants to do in every single person's life. That we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've never done that. You've never cried out to God and said, "God, I need to be saved. I'm lost. I'm hopeless without You. I'm like a sheep without a shepherd. I need Your salvation." And the good news is that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The second distinct work of grace that God wants to do in every single person's life is at some point after they have received the gift of salvation, and salvation is a gift, at some point after having been saved and realized that God gave His all for me, at some point, you're going to come to the realization that I need to give my all to Him. And we call that consecration. Consecration is when I give my everything to God. I can't hold back from Him anything more. I give Him everything. My future, my past, my present, my desires, my hopes, my dreams, my failures, my ambitions, my kids, my finances, everything, everything belongs to God, including my heart, my soul, my mind, my body. I've got to come to that point where I give God everything, and here's what happens when we do that. When we lay it all on the altar, when we give God everything, when we consecrate our absolute everything about us to Him, the promise of Scripture is that He sanctifies us. And that means His Spirit so fills us, His Spirit cleanses us from any residue of sin. And the desires we once had for ourselves and for the things of this world now begin to change towards God. We desire God more than anything else. And so the Scriptures say, it is God's will that you be sanctified. That you come to that point where you give God everything because you realize He gave you everything. And you are so filled with His love. Your heart is cleansed. And you are fully living for Him because He lives within you. And that happens in a distinct moment in time. Just like in that moment of salvation, there was a time when you weren't saved, there was a time that you cried out to God to save you, and in that moment He saved you, and now you are saved. There is a distinct moment in time where you are entirely sanctified and filled with God's Spirit. It's a little like, let's say you went to a concert. I don't know, who's popular? Henry Styles. Is it Henry Styles? Harry Styles? Harry Styles. I gotta get my pop stars right. Let's say you went to a Harry Styles concert, okay? And you, Henry or Harry?
Harry.
You're just messing with me. And you got a ticket, and I don't know, what is it?
$150.
Yeah, it's probably quite a bit. And let's say you bought a ticket, and you said, I went to a Harry Styles concert on June 21st, 2022, and I was there with a bunch of screaming other maniacs, and man, I just yelled my head off, and I went home that night, and my voice was gone, and I just, it was an amazing concert, and here's the ticket stub to prove that I went to a Harry Styles concert, you know? It was a concert, it was a moment in time, it was an event that you could look back on and say, I was there, and I had a great time. Well, there's a distinct moment in time when you cried out to God to sanctify you, that you could look back and say, you know what? I came to that point in my life when I realized I needed to give God everything. For me, that happened when I was 16 years old. Now, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 6, and I remember that moment vividly. But when I was 16, I was a teenager, and I was like most every other teenager. And I was at the University of Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., for Nazarene Youth Congress, 1987. I was with thousands of other teenagers from across our country, and I just very vividly remember sitting there in those worship services, and God was speaking to my heart. I knew I had invited Him into my heart, but at 16 years of age, I knew I needed to give God everything. And I just remember weeping and crying and saying, God, I give You everything. I need to be so controlled and filled with Your Holy Spirit. God, I give You my life. I give You my future, everything. And at that moment, summer of 1987, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And since that moment on, it has been a process of growing in the Lord. I've made mistakes since then. I'm not perfect. I've sinned since then. But because I had the Holy Spirit within me, He was quick to point out those areas that I needed to repent of and get right with God. And so my heart's desire changed. I wanted to please God more than anything. And I've been on this journey ever since then. And I think this is where Peter is at with this list. He's talking to a group of Christians who have been saved. And he's talking to a group of believers who may or may not have been sanctified. But he's saying, now I need you to build upon the grace of God and what He's done for you. And so this is where we get this list in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. For this very reason, because God has saved you, and because God has filled you with His Spirit, your journey has not ended. It needs to continue. And he says, you need to make every effort. Put your all into this, is what he says. This is not just a haphazard thing. Make this your priority, says Peter. Make every effort to add to your faith. Now, I read those four words, add to your faith, and then he gives us this list of things that we're adding to. And here's the picture I get in my mind. I get an idea of like a construction zone. You know, God is not done with us yet. He's still building us. He wants us to be in a construction mode where we're actually building upon our faith. So, we're going to be in construction zone mode this morning. We're going to add to our faith. We're going to allow God to do some remodeling within us if He needs to. God needs to do some construction work in us, and we need to be willing to allow Him to do that. So, to help us visualize construction mode that we're in today, I brought some hard hats with me. Which one should I wear? I'll wear the orange one. There we go. And I'll give Tim the white one. You got to wear this for the rest of the service, all right? Because Tim would be the first to say, along with me, God's not done with us yet, right? There you go. Oh, man, you look good in that. We are in construction mode, right? God at work. We are under construction. He's going to build some things in us, and we're going to work with God, and He's going to do some remodeling, and He's going to make us far better than we were before. And so He says here, in this construction zone mode that you're in, add to your faith. Faith is critical. We're going to look at each one of these qualities one by one. Faith is important. And we haven't had an interactive sermon in a while, so we're going to look at each one of these qualities, and I want us to look at faith. Someone turn to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6, and when you get there, read it out loud for us so that we can hear you. Hebrews 11:6.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
Without faith, it is impossible, you read that right, impossible to please God. The Bible says, the righteous will live by faith. Your faith in God will bring you to a knowledge of salvation. And so we need to have faith. Faith is the foundation for our journey with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we add to our faith goodness. Someone turn to Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10, and read that loud for us as we talk about this goodness that we must add to our faith. Amen. Thank you, Karen, for reading that. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Oh, God, fill me with your goodness. And help me to seize upon every opportunity to do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Faith is the foundation, and what are we to build on faith? Goodness. Peter then goes on and it says, to goodness, add what? Knowledge. Someone turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 12:1, and read that verse for us, talking about the importance of knowledge. Proverbs 12:1. I know. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. God, give us a love for your word. Help me to love your word, to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to be a believer is to know more about God, to grow in our knowledge. God, help me to study your word, to know your word, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We add to our faith goodness, our goodness knowledge, and what are we to build upon after knowledge? What does Peter say? Self-control. Thank you. Why do we need self-control? Someone turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And read those verses for us, please. Amen. Thank you, Doug. Why do we need self-control? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We've all known hotheads who can't control their temper. And guess what? It only gets them into trouble, right? And so one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. God, help us to be Help us to be controlled and temperate so that we can reflect the goodness of God. So we're in construction zone mode. We've got faith, and we're building on our faith with goodness, and we're building on our goodness with knowledge, and we're building upon our knowledge with self-control. And with self-control, we're building what? Perseverance. Why do we need perseverance? Someone turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. These are the words of Jesus. These are probably some of the most powerful words, the most important words you will hear all week long. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13.
Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved.
He who stands firm to the end will be saved. We need to persevere, especially in these times that we're living in. Because the promise of Scripture, the promise of Jesus, is that as we persevere and we not give up, we will be saved from the corruption of this world. We build upon perseverance with what? Godliness. Let me read to you Psalm chapter 1. The opening words of Psalm are beautiful. And it's a call to a godly life. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The Psalms begins with a call to live a godly life. Don't do what the sinners do. Don't do what the culture does. But keep your heart and mind set on the precepts of the Lord. What comes after godliness, according to Peter? Mutual affection or brotherly kindness. Someone read for us 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
Dear friends, let us love one another. Mutual. Let's not just be receivers of love. And let's not just be givers of love. Let us love each other, mutual love and concern and affection for one another. And finally, to end his list here of the construction that God wants to do in our lives is love. Love. Someone read the words of Jesus in John 13, verses 34 and 35. If you love one another. This is what we are to be seeking after every day as we grow in the Lord. God has saved us. He is sanctifying us. And now we must grow in maturity in the Lord. And seek out these very specific qualities that Peter highlights. Faith. Goodness. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Look at 2 Peter again. 2 Peter verse 8. I want us to look at the two if you verses. Verse 8. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Ineffective and unproductive. Oh God, may that never be true of me. In my walk with you, may I never be ineffective and unproductive. Now, there are many who I think rightly so are thinking the American church. Now, one of the critiques of the North American church is that the church is ineffective and unproductive. And there's some validity to that. If I were to say, what is your critique of politics in America today? We could say of politics in America today that they are ineffective and unproductive. How sad is it that we live in a day and age when in the minds of most people, the church is up there with politics? That the two, in the minds of people, are both ineffective and unproductive. Oh God, what the church needs today is that we grow in these qualities so that we not become ineffective and unproductive. May we not be even in the same sentence with politics. Because in a day and age when politics is clearly ineffective and unproductive, the church has an opportunity to rise above that and be the light that this world desperately needs. My prayer for us, for me, for the church, for this church and every church in North America and around the world, that we would never be ineffective and unproductive. The second if you is at the end of verse 10. He says, if you do these things, you will never fall. Remember, Peter is writing so that we not fall, that we not fail, that we not stumble, that we not fall away from God. And I love that we sang the song, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If we keep our eyes on Christ, we do these things, we pursue these qualities with intensity and with everything we've got, the promise is we will not fall. On Christ the solid rock I stand. If I stand anywhere else, it's sinking sand. But if I stand on Christ in His Word and I pursue these qualities, the promise is we will never fall. The call of Peter is clear. Add to your faith. May it be so.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.